This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. People who are suffering from depression and thinking about suicide often have a hard time opening up about what they're going through, and they can resist getting treatment. In this part of our series, Suicide, A Crisis in the Shadows, we bring you the story of a Medford man who did talk a lot about his struggles and tried every treatment available. WBUR's Lynn Joliker spoke with two of the people who were closest to him and are passing on his legacy of talking about mental illness and suicide.
For Marlon Collingwood, the 5th of May 2014 started on a high note.
It was a gorgeous day, a beautiful, perfect New England May, early day in spring.
Collingwood's husband, 45-year-old Gary Girton, who had been battling severe clinical depression for several years, had seemed happy the night before. The two had made dinner together and watched a movie. But now, with Girton not answering the phone or responding to text messages, Collingwood drove home to Medford from work in Boston to check on his husband. It became the day he had feared with the deepest of dread.
As I was pulling down the street where we lived, I could see our front porch, and there was a note taped to the front door, and it said, Marlon, I've taken my own life. I don't want you to find me. Call 911 and then call Molly. I love you, Gary.
And there was this Marlon screaming, crying on the other end of the line.
Molly Basquette is Collingwood and Girton's pastor.
He said, he's gone. He's gone, Molly. He's gone. He's gone. That's all he could say. And I said, I'm coming right over. And I just held him, and he wept, and he raged.
She eventually went inside the house, where police had confirmed Girton was dead.
Molly spent time with his body and anointed him and prayed for him. And I was adamant, based on the way he had courageously fought this disease, that we were not going to hide the fact that he had taken his own life.
That started with Girton's funeral at First Church Somerville.
People need to know that we can have a conversation about this, that we have to. People are dying every day, and the church and faith communities have to be able to reconcile that this is happening to people in their own communities.
Girton and Collingwood had gotten their whole church talking about mental illness. Girton wasn't religious, but he was open-minded and enjoyed the congregational church community, his husband and pastor say. Multiple times he spoke about his depression at Sunday services.
He talked about how he saw God present in his very skilled psychotherapist, or the love, the healing love of this community. And a lot of people were helped by him having the courage to share that story.
Collingwood says his husband would actually tell anyone who would listen, even strangers, about his mental illness and hospitalizations. He hoped to learn something new that might help him and to shatter stigma.
If somebody said to him, how are you? He didn't say, I'm fine, like most of us did. He said, you know what? I'm really struggling today. And here's what's going on. And I was in the hospital 3 weeks ago. He hated when people would say to him, you just need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You just need to go take a walk.
Girton had suffered from depression since before he and Collingwood met in Pittsburgh in 1998. He kept it under control with medication for years, though he remained a glass-half-empty kind of guy, his husband says. The two moved to the Boston area in 2003, just months before same-sex marriage was legalized. They married less than 2 years later, surrounded by family and friends on the beach in Provincetown. Educated as a teacher, Girton was working as an actor and mosaic artist.
But he loved kids. He loved to help kids learn to read. And he was just the kind of person who would help you, who wanted to see a better place in the world for everyone, very committed to equality.
And he loved the couple's corgis, Harry and Tori.
This was my favorite picture of him with Harry and Tori. This was the picture we used at the memorial service. And the smile.
The smile in the picture wasn't a regular sight on Girton's face, but he was leading a productive life. At least, that is, until 2011. Just after Girton recovered from a bad stomach virus, his depression became severe. Suddenly, one day, as if a switch had been flipped, he told his husband. The world had become dark, and it just got darker. Girton was hospitalized at McLean multiple times, including once when Collingwood discovered some pills he had bought on the internet to kill himself. He tried every therapy and medication psychologists and psychiatrists recommended, his husband says. Collingwood acted as Girton's caregiver and advocate, making daily calls to doctors and going with him to his appointments.
He did everything he was told. He was told exercise. And some mornings he would get up and he would get on the elliptical and he would be crying because he did not want to do it. He wanted to just go to bed. He would get up and he'd take a shower and he'd get dressed and he would go to work. And it was torture for him for a long time.
With all other treatments failing, doctors at McLean recommended ECT, electroconvulsive therapy. Girton was hesitant because of frightening images he had from movies and knowing it would likely cause some memory loss. But he started the shock therapy and would feel a bit better for a few days, then tell his husband he wasn't getting better. Still, it was enough to give him a little hope, Collingwood says, and that's all he wanted. But in November 2013, Girton experienced something that almost never happens with ECT. He went into cardiac arrest during the procedure. He was rushed to another hospital and revived, but wished he hadn't been.
His first reaction was, "You should have just let me die. This was my chance to be done, to be out of pain."
Given what had happened, doctors said Girton could never do ECT again. And that's when the darkness really took over, according to Collingwood. So every Sunday night, the couple had a ritual. Collingwood would ask his husband three questions that are recommended as part of suicide prevention and intervention.
"Do you have suicidal thoughts?" And his answer was always yes. He was very honest about that. "Do you have the means? And do you have a plan?" And the answer to those two were always no.
They went through that ritual, and Girton gave those answers on Sunday, May 4th of last year. But Collingwood now suspects Girton's unusually upbeat demeanor that night came from feeling at peace about his decision. He did have means and a plan, and he carried it out the next day. And while Girton was taking his own life at home, Collingwood was on the phone at work trying to enroll his spouse in a study of a new treatment showing incredible promise for major depression that's resisted other therapies. Collingwood says his husband just missed out on that opportunity for hope. And that's what drives this message that's become his life's mission.
"Stick around for one more day, and then one more, and then one more. Because this doesn't tend to be permanent. There tends to be things that do work. You are not a burden. You are not making anyone's life easier by dying. And if you're hearing these words, this is your sign. Don't take your own life today. Don't do it."
After his husband's suicide, Collingwood left a public relations career and became executive director of the Waltham-based national organization Families for Depression Awareness. He teaches people how to be vocal, supportive caregivers for their depressed loved ones and how to talk openly about suicide. A lasting tribute to the man he calls the great love of his life. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.